Rob and Kim Frazier. I have pastored in Kansas for a number of years. Rob was a part of an event we did here a couple of years ago, maybe it's not been quite that long, of a rural pastors conference. And Rob has taken an assignment, a task, to work with Convoy of Hope, who we have also supported for a number of years now, their ministry and their rural ministry initiative. And I am delighted to have Rob and Kim and their two boys with us this morning. Rob, come on and just tear it up and share your heart with us.
Oh, well. Howdy. There are people out there. I'm just going to take it by faith because you can't see nothing from up here. I just want you to know that. My name is Rob Frazier, and it is so good to be here. See, immediately what I want to do is throw all my papers on the floor because Pastor did that earlier, and I like to show greatness. When you see greatness, you just follow it, and so I do appreciate that. My name is Rob. It's good to be here. My wife Kim is here, and my boys David and Jonathan are here, and we are excited to be with you. We are missionaries with Convoy of Hope, and one of the things that has been a burden in my heart for a number of years is rural. I love rural America. Now, this is pretty rural. I was down in central, more southern Oklahoma, a little more rural down there than even here. But I am excited to be here because I believe God has a plan. I believe God's desire is that rural still matters. And that not only does rural still matter, I really believe God desires to do incredible things in the rural church. Does anybody agree with that? Seven. Good, good. We're going to have to work on that. I was born and raised in Wichita, Kansas. My mom and dad were truck drivers. My stepdad, my real dad didn't really know, but my stepdad my whole family's been truck drivers forever. And we grew up poor. My mama actually had me when she was 17, so we kind of grew up together. I think I raised her pretty well. She's from Arkansas. I am bilingual. I speak English and hillbilly. And so that's why they another one of the strengths to be able to be tasked to work with Convoy of Hope dealing with rural America. I grew up, had dyslexia. I have dysgraphia to a little extent. If you don't know what that is, I don't either, but they just told me that. And I do have dyslexia. I have some learning disabilities. And let's just say that I was born to a young lady. I had learning issues. I wasn't on the top of most probable to succeed. How many know what I'm talking about right there? And it was a hard growing up time, but I had a mom who loved me very much, and she used to say, "I love you so much, but if you do that, I'm going to kill you." And she meant it. My mama looked me at 14 years old, and she stared up at me because she's only about 5'1", and she stared up at me and she said, "You don't think you're getting too big for me to whoop, do you?" And I said, "No, ma'am, because I ain't stupid." And she said, "That's good, because I got a cast iron skillet in there. I'm going to hit you in the head with if you get sideways with me." And so I learned to listen and to be obedient to my mom, and she had such a great heart. But to be very honest with you, it was a very challenging growing up time. We were not Christian. In fact, we never really heard the gospel, had anything involved with Christianity. My mom tried to raise us pretty morally, but as much as a young lady who really had never had anybody reach into her life like that. I tell you all this story because what ended up happening was a church decided they were going to do a bus ministry, okay? And remember when busing was like popular, you know? And so they started, and somebody came up to our door, knocked on the door, and they said, they introduced themselves, and they said, "We know you have children." They knew because we had left all of our toys out in the front yard. And they said, we wanted to know if it would be all right if we took your children to church. And so they were talking to my mom, and my mom says, "Well, what do you mean?" She said, "We're going to come by on Sunday morning, and we've got a bus, and we're going to put them on a bus. We'll take them to church. We're going to have a good time. They're going to have fun, and we'll bring them back." And my mom said, "Sunday morning without the boys? Next thing I know, I'll stand on the porch." It was Friday night. That was the longest 2 days I'd had. And so we were out there. We went to church. And I went to this little church, and I honestly wished I could remember the name. I was talking to my wife about this. I wished I could remember the name. Go ahead and open your Bibles before, because I'm getting excited here. Open up, if you would, the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, because we're going to be there in just a minute. But I remember that this little church had us come in, and we had a Sunday school in a broom closet because they had such a good turnout from kids, they had to put us somewhere. And so they went in a broom closet, and they told us about Jesus, and then I went out and I heard preaching, and this guy told me about Jesus and his love for us and what it meant to give our lives to Christ and that we wouldn't have to go to hell, and I thought that was pretty exciting. And so I decided I would get saved that week, and then I went back the next week, and I heard the same thing. I got saved the next week. Got saved 7 weeks in a row. Thought that was pretty, I think that's pretty funny, Pastor, in a Baptist church. It's kind of a doctrine thing going on there. They did finally tell me on the seventh time, the guy said, Robbie, you just got to do this once. I said, if you'd have told me six times ago, I'd have mind that so much. You know, that's good. I'm all right with that. What I want you to know is when a church decides to invade its community and to become part of the community life and being, when we decide that we can get out of our walls and start reaching out, it does something. Now listen to this. I love this verse, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12. The Bible says, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets and dwellings. How incredible if we had churches in our society today that were called repairer of the broken walls and restorer of the streets and dwellings. How many would agree with that? Just shake your head because I couldn't see anyway. It doesn't matter, but you can just... How many... Think about this. How incredible is it if we come to a place that the church of Jesus Christ shines so brightly with its love for the community that it is looked at as a core important value to that community, and if the church closed, it would matter. How many would rethink that? Think about that for a minute. The reason I tell you this is because I believe in rural America today, we are in the greatest opportunity for our churches to be that. Now, I want you, I'm going to set with some statistics because I'm supposed to tell you statistics that you'll quickly forget and ignore me. So if you're going to zone out on me, next 3 minutes would be a good time. America is classified as 95% rural. So that means out of our land mass, 95% of our land mass is rural. Okay. Now, 19.7% of our population lives in that rural setting. Okay, so that means that less than 20% of our population of America lives in 95% of our landmass. But here's what people don't know. See, we used to have this Norman Rockwell view of rural America, didn't we? I remember I was first started youth pastor in a little town called Fredonia, Kansas. That's actually where I met my wife. We ended up getting married there. Fredonia is a great town. I loved it. I remember the first 4th of July that I ever was in Fredonia. Because see, in Wichita, you didn't do a lot of fireworks, but there could be some gunshots. I was so freaked out the night of the 4th. I was hiding under my bed, you know. It was kind of crazy because we grew up kind of a rough area in Wichita. But what ended up happening when I moved to Fredonia is it just seemed like such an idealistic area. But I want you to know something today. That 20% of our population that I serve and that I tell you lives in rural makes up 40% of those who live below the level of having enough, lives below the blanking, Kim. Yeah, poverty line. 40% lives below the poverty line. Now think about this. So we're telling you that 20% of our population makes up over 40% of those who live below the poverty line. We've seen our industry leave. We've seen a lot of our jobs leave. We have our brightest often leave those communities, and they just kind of sit there, and they look like they're dying. In fact, I have a statistic here, and I got to share it, but when I opened up my Bible, it all fell out, so I'm going to have to see if I can find it real quick. There it is. There are out of the 250 consistently poor counties in the United States, now listen to this, out of 250 consistently poor counties in the United States, 244 of the 250 are rural. Okay, so what I'm trying to I don't know if you're getting this or not, I'm trying to tell you there's a need, right? What an incredible time for a church to look at its community and say, hey, we're going to partner with you because we know that your government, our city governments, and even our county governments don't have the resource they need. So what it takes is a pastor with a vision. There have been many pastors, and I've ran across many of those pastors. When Kim and I were pastoring in Rose Hill, Kansas, Rose Hill's a little bit like Meriden, close to a town, so it's got some, but it also has that rural feel. One of the things that I began to realize is they wanted people who would come in and partner with them and say, you know what? They wanted pastors who would be part of the community and say, we will be here for the community. And so I did that. And it was actually got sneaky. Rural Compassion is a ministry that Convoy of Hope is kind of the overseer of. RC was birthed from Steve. Steve decided that he was pastoring. Now he's from San Francisco, okay? So he's not rural. But when he became a pastor, he started pastoring in a little rural church. And Steve realized, hey, there is not a lot of support and things that I'm seeing out here for the rural pastor. And so he started working to build a program and started working with his brother Hal. By the way, both of them's last name's Donaldson. Started working on a vision to how to reach rural America. From that, Convoy of Hope and Rural Compassion started to focus on rural training of pastors. So they begin to want to invest. And this church blessed us about 2 years ago, Pastor. I think you're right. About 2 years ago to have one of those rural trainings here so that we could bring pastors up and say, hey, we love you. We know what it means to pastor rural. We know how tough it can be to pastor rural. Many of those pastors are bivocational because the churches aren't large enough to be able to fund them. And so we want to be there to help you. Isn't that an exciting idea? So then, lately, they've come up with even a larger vision to go now that they've got the trainings going. And so Kim and I are getting ready to be privileged, to be blessed, to be part of something. They have said, we're going to look at our teams. It's called field teams. Now, let me explain to you who the field team. Our field team's office is our short-term missions trips. How many have ever been on a short-term missions trip? If you have not been, can I tell you something? You need to go. I don't endorse Mormon doctrine, but I'm going to tell you, they're smart at sending their people out. When you get the chance to see God, and even for a week of a short-term mission trip, it will blow your mind. That was one of the things we got exposed to. One of the first short-term mission trips, actually the first that we got to go on after we were married, was to Mexico. We went down to a little town called Guadalupe Victoria, right across the border from New Mexico. Went down there. We built a church. It was just working hard. I remember one of my biggest memories is that we were out there one day and we had to stop construction. We'd gotten low of some material. We had to get some of that in and say, well, let's go around and talk to people and invite them to church that night. So we went around knocking on doors and stuff, and we saw this one lady, and she was standing at her door and she was sweeping all of the dirt out of her house. And so we walked up to her, and we had a translator with us, of course, because I grew up in the North End, and I knew some Spanish, but you can't say it after you become a Christian. And so I went ahead, and they invited me. The lady just invited us, come in. We had a translator, and just telling her about what we were doing. And as I was sitting in there in this house, I would love to tell you at first I had all these great spiritual thoughts about how they could live in poverty. It's just a small little house. It wasn't made of a lot. I wished I could say, man, I was. But really what I really got caught was I looked down and noticed that the floor was dirt. And the dyslexic mind that I have, which is a very interesting mind, maybe a little ADHD set in there, I thought, how do you know when to stop? I mean, when do you end up with a basement after a while if you don't quit sweeping? What do you do there? I don't know. But as I saw what it was like to go and invest in to these communities and to help build the church and stuff, I began to realize, man, how incredible is it? I'm going to tell y'all something right now. I'm going to just say something to you. You're not going to like it. I don't care. Cause I'm not going to be here next week. But I want you to know that our Christianity in America has become consumeristic. Churches have to sell the gospel nowadays. We got to tell you how great of a youth ministry we got, how great of a children's ministry. We got to get you coffee when you come in. Is there anything wrong with any of that? No, there's not. It's fine. But we have gotten to the place that people are like, well, what will that church do for me? You know what I read in the scriptures? And you probably, some people may miss this, I don't know, but I thought it said seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not seek first our own comfort, not seek first what we want, but seek first his kingdom. That's what the missions trips have done. When you get out there, you realize, man, I don't just have to come and get. Man, I can come and give. I can invest. And missions trips affect three different people. They affect the people that were going there to help. They affect the people that have brought us in there to help. But you know who it affects the most? The people who go. Almost every missions trip I've ever seen, people come back and they're like, oh my gosh, I just couldn't even imagine. We just took a missions trip to South Dakota to one of the Native American Indian reservations, the Rosebud Indian Reservation. I'm going to tell you, poverty. I grew up poor, okay? We were poor growing up. People break into our house, they leave stuff, okay? It was like reverse there. But you know what? I have never seen poverty like I saw at Rosebud. And I'm going to tell you, there are opportunities in missions to go and to partner and to help. So what we have decided, or what Convoy has decided to do with Rural Compassion and with field teams, is we want to begin to send missions teams out to help rural churches who have been invested into by Rural Compassion and have shown the heart and the vision to reach their communities. We want to see churches that are healthy and vibrant and have the resource they can to say, you know what, I'm going to partner with a church. We're going to partner with a church and we're going to go to Rockaway Beach, Missouri, which is one of the places that we're investing into, or down to the Mississippi Delta, or one of the places I'm ready to go. I have not got to go yet, but in one of my trips I was supposed to go and it got canceled and I was a little depressed. Jolo, West Virginia. You just want to say it, don't you? Go ahead. It'll make you feel better. Jolo. Isn't that just awesome? Where are you going? I'm going to Jolo. And you got to be able to stretch it out. You know, you don't, Jolo, you're not from the north if you do that. It's Jolo. And so we're going to be, and we're the opportunity to take churches and to invest to help a pastor who has a vision for his or her community, who desires to see their community reached with the gospel, but don't have the resource to do it. And churches can come alongside and say, you know what? We want to help you with that. We will help you. What are we doing? We're the church in Rockaway Beach right now. If you don't know anything about Rockaway Beach, let me tell you a little bit about Rockaway Beach. Rockaway Beach was Branson before Branson was Branson. Okay. That's where everybody went in the 40s and the 50s. That's where you went. That place would be so packed out. People would take honeymoons there. They would vacation there. They did everything down there. Today, it looks like a ghost town. You look at it at first. But there was a church, a pastor that came into a Baptist church in town, and he got a vision. He said, I believe we can restore health to our communities. So they started to do some things, like they built a new t-ball field so that the kids in the community would have somewhere to play. They created a garden for the people in the town to come in and do a community garden to raise food to help them with their finances. Poverty is there. So they said, what can we do for the business? And they started taking some of the old recreation areas that were built, and they are starting to renovate them for small businesses of artisans type people, people who do any kind of handcraft that would be willing to come in and for a very little amount, rent a facility. But they have to make some promises. They've got to say that if it gets to the point where they're ready to hire, they'll look inside town to hire first. They want to bring finances back into their community. Of course, more than anything, they want spiritual renewal in their community. Flip over, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. We're going to be there in just a minute. So that's what God has called on us. So I got to tell you what happened to us, because you'll think this might be funny, or maybe you won't. I don't know. I thought it was hysterical, personally. So we were in the process of pastoring, and God, we were in Chi Alpha before that for about 10 years. We spent 8 years at Chi Alpha, Wichita State University, and loved every minute of it. And God told us, you need to go pastor a church. And I said, what? He said, I want you to pastor. I said, God, I don't want to pastor because I don't like adults. And God said, yeah, I understand that, but you're still going to go. And so God moved us to Rose Hill, Kansas, pastored a church for 11 years, a church that was very graceful to handle someone who's not always as gifted as a pastoring as your guy's MVP pastor here, okay? I was always on the line to be cut. That's where I was at. But there, God did some incredible things. We saw people get saved. God did some really cool stuff. About a year and a half ago, I was starting to get a little bit frustrated in my spirit, and the grace of God was starting to come away from me. And I'm like, God, what's the problem? And I started praying. I'm like, God, I don't know what to do. You need to give me a vision. I got to know, because I don't want to kill people. And so you need me to be helped. And God started, as I'm praying and asking God to do some things, and I started talking to our district superintendent, and he said to me, he said, Rob, it could be that maybe God's starting to, first God had to talk me into going into pastoring. Now he's having to talk me out of coming out of pastoring. And he's like, it may just be God's ready to make a move with you. And so Kim and I started praying over it, and Kim wasn't excited, and we were very comfortable. Rose Hill's a beautiful place to live, great school system. It was just a really nice place. But we knew God was starting to do something. And the night before, I had a call with Steve Donaldson the next day. The night before I had that call, Kim came out and said, hey, what if we were to start doing short-term missions trips to help rural churches? How cool would that be? I said, yeah, they don't do that, but okay. I was kind of one of those things. I'm like, well, whatever. Okay, thank you. Glad to hear it. And so I just kept moving on because, I'm just doing that thing. And then all of a sudden, next morning I call and I'm talking to Steve, and Steve says to me, he says, you know what we're looking for? We're looking for someone to help develop short-term missions trips to rural communities. I'm like, okay, dude, that was weird. And that's actually exactly what I said to Steve. I said, wait. That was weird, and I explained to him what we had the conversation the night before. We know God has called us to make that move to help these communities, because a lot of these churches, I believe they're ready to explode. Just to be very clear with you guys, we're shutting down rural churches, even the Assemblies of God. We're shutting rural churches down. I preached in St. Francis, Kansas a number of years ago. We don't have a church there anymore. I preached in Elkhart, Kansas. We no longer have a church in there. We preached in Plainville. They don't have a church there anymore. We're shutting our rural churches down. And a lot of that isn't because there's not enough people to have a church there. Now, some of them there are. Some of these communities have just died, and the town we're living in, Altoona, Kansas, population about 300. If you count the dogs, 9,657. Okay. Now, here's the deal about Altoona. Altoona is so small, the city limit signs are on the same post. So we know rural, and there are some towns that's what's happened. It used to be a larger town, it's grown, that's just what happens. But we have some communities, and Pastor will tell you, we've got communities out there, that really could use, like Abilene, Kansas, that really could use somebody who could invest in there, and we've had churches there, and those churches haven't made it. Well, a lot of times that's because it wasn't resourced. They didn't have the resource they need to make that happen. So this is something that we're desiring to try to help with. And that's where you come in. Now, I'm actually going to tell y'all something. I'm going to challenge you in just a minute because that's what I do. I can't come in and not challenge y'all. But I would ask you to pray for us. We have multiple ways that we need. We're getting ready, just raising our budget. We're about 35% of our church, of our budget to live, because there's this little thing I really enjoy called eating. And I have a 14-year-old who's kind of like a jet engine. You just keep shoveling it in, and it just keeps going. And so we're raising our budget to be able to make our living and to do the traveling. I told you I was down at a training yesterday down in South Central Oklahoma. I drove up here, got to the hotel about 9 o'clock last night. We love the traveling. Actually, I grew up truck driver's son, so driving's just like part of it. My mom and dad, our vacation was put the kids in a truck and let's go to California. Have you ever seen a cab over Kenworth from the 1970s? It's a box, okay? I don't know how my mama did not kill us. I'm not joking you, because I mean, there are times that with my boys, I'm just like, dude, you all need to go somewhere. You don't go anywhere when you're running 80 mile an hour down a highway in a truck. You don't do that. And so it's kind of crazy out there, to be able to do those kind of things. But we're in the process. We love the traveling. We're ready to go, but we need to be sent. And that's a way you guys can help. So you can help a few different ways. One, you can pray for us. We do have prayer cards and love to give it to you. These don't seem to be popular anymore, Pastor. It used to be I'd have them, people actually come up and ask for them. Nowadays they don't, and I'm not sure why. I'm like, man, I got like thousands of these printed. I'm going to have to like do something on the wall with it or something. This is not my rookie card, I will tell you that. I've already had a rookie autograph some of those. But, you know, I'd autograph this if you want a second year card. This does have my family. If you could put this on us, you can put it on your refrigerator, put it on your mirror in a bathroom. If that's where, put it in the middle of your steering wheel. When you turn the wheel real fast, it does a really cool color thing. But you could do whatever you need to do. If you'll pray for us, we need prayer. Secondly is financial support. We do need that financial support. It is very, very important to us being able to move forward and advance. So that's another thing that you can be praying for. And honestly, just thinking about Rule and praying for Rule. That's the third thing. Praying for Rule, compassion, praying for Convoy of Hope. Convoy of Hope reached over, we topped our 100 millionth person that we were, have been able to help. 100 million. I'm going to tell you, that's some awesome stuff. I'm very thankful for the privilege of being part of such a great organization whose hearts to reach out and help the poor and to feed the poor. It is an exciting thing. But I want to challenge this church too, because it's something that's very important to me. I don't believe God places any church where it's at. Now, you guys, very healthy church. And I'm not joking. I want to say in all seriousness that your pastor has been, he's been one of my, like, if I was going to say, hey, let's put out a poster of, like, the best pastors, he'd be one of those posters that we would get. And you guys are blessed. y'all could have got someone like me. That should make your appreciation do that right there. And if he ever decided to try to leave, just slit his tires or something, because you might get me next. I don't know. Not me, because I will not pastor again unless God just takes me back kicking and screaming. Which is hard to get elected when you do that. I don't know. But anyway, I want to challenge this church, though, that God did not put you here on accident. I love Jeremiah chapter 29. I love the chapter. But we have a refrigerator verse in here, right? It's the one, if you've ever graduated from anything, high school, college, you know, if you ever graduated from, like, you know, maybe preschool, you got something with this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Help me know that. That's not what we're talking about. So I don't know why you're bringing it up. What we're really wanting to talk about is verse 7. See, what people don't know about this chapter is actually the Israelites are in bondage right here. They're in bondage. But God gives them a plan, and he speaks to it through Jeremiah in verse 7. He says, also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city which I have carried you into exile. Now, I don't know if you feel like living here is exile or not, but God put you here for a reason. So first, he wants you to seek the peace and the prosperity of your community. Now, we can say that in a lot of ways, but you know one of the problems that we have found, we're reading a book right now, and if you've never read a book, you should. And if you like, another great book that you need to pick up is, it's called When Helping Hurts. And one of the problems is it says that in our worldview today, in our Western church, especially in America, we think poverty is all financial. But actually, poverty is so much deeper than that. If you want to seek the prosperity of your community, they need to prosper spiritually first. There needs to be a revival in the church, because the church is not doing its job. That may surprise you, but that's why we're not keeping up with the population growth even of what's going on. We need to seek the prosperity spiritually as well as socially. Our people, we've got kids, we have kids with dyslexia, and I'm talking that because I know, and my son has dyslexia as well. We have kids with dyslexia who, if they can get somebody to figure out what's going on in their life and help them, they're smart. In fact, some cases, they're smarter. Albert Einstein, dyslexic. I don't know if you know that or not. Bill Gates, dyslexic. There are many people that when they found somebody helped them out and they were able to work through that, it was awesome. They need somebody who would reach in and say, hey, I see you. I believe in you. I want you to see you succeed spiritually, socially, spirit, and every way that you can. So that's the first thing. But I love what he goes on, because he says that God put you. You are put here. You didn't happen here. This is not happenstance. You didn't just show up on your own decision. No, God has you in such this place. Now, you may not be here for the rest of your life, or maybe you will be. Who knows? I want to encourage you, though, to know that God has placed you here. And finally, he says this, and pray to the Lord for it. Do you pray for Meriden, the city? Do you pray for the church? Do you pray for Topeka? There's a lot of prayer needed for Topeka. Fasting, sackcloth and ashes. God needs to do some incredible things, and He wants to. And so I want to encourage you to think about what can you do to impact that community. See, Pastor, I'm leaning, but not enough for it to flip. It's trying to a little bit. What can you do to reach your community? And I want to also challenge you to consider going on a trip, a missions trip. Doesn't have to be with Convoy. I mean, we'd love to have you guys go if that's what you choose to do. But I would challenge every one of you. I will double dog dare you. I don't care how old or how young you are. If you're old, God's still not done with you because you'd be dead. I would challenge you to see about an opportunity to invest on a short-term missions trip. God has a great plan, and we can get that connected. Our pastor's got more connections than the phone company, and he can reach. And there is opportunity for you to go and to invest. Even in this state, there are churches that have large needs that churches can help with. So I would challenge you to pray about going on a short-term missions trip. Could be a week, could be, longer, shorter. But God has an incredible opportunity. So here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to take these few verses here in the book of Jeremiah, and I want you to challenge yourself with them. Am I doing this for my community? I'd also like you to pray for support, or pray for us as far as our support and the potential supporting. And I wanted to share with you a quick video from Matt Wilkie, who's in charge of field teams, and his heart to see God do something incredible to rural America. Now, we had 12 trips to rural America last year. In the next 5 years, we're hoping to get to where we're having hundreds, that was plural, hundreds of trips to rural America out of Convoy of Hope. To do that, they've got to have us there to help develop it. That's why we're working so hard to get there. But I just want to give you a few moments and let you listen, hear from Matt, and let him share with you what he has. Go ahead. Thank you so much, sound person, who is incredible and I think is worth everything that you're ever being paid for. Appreciate you guys. But that does mean you could start it too. That would be good.
I've seen the impact that our field teams can have in communities throughout rural America and other places in the United States. And I get really excited when the thought of Rob and Kim joining this team comes to my mind, because they will help us increase that impact in ways that I don't think any of us have dreamed about so far. I love this quote from Frederick Buechner. He says that God's will is often where the deep needs of the world and the deep gladness of man collide. And Convoy of Hope, we get to stand at that intersection, and our field teams, that's our groups from churches from throughout the United States, they get to physically stand right at that intersection. Here they are, groups of people with a passion to help, right in the place that needs some help, and where Convoy of Hope is engaging strategically. And so I'm thrilled for our field teams and the opportunities we have throughout the world. And I'm extra excited because Rob and Kim are becoming part of the Convoy of Hope family. And through their work, we will be able to help strategize throughout communities, not only around the world, but with their help through communities here in the United States. In places throughout rural America, even in some of the urban environments, they will be working with leaders in communities to help strategically plan ways that Convoy of Hope can engage and help the things that are happening there. And then they'll be able to take teams from churches throughout the U.S. to those spots, spend a week or however long it ends up being, helping in some real and in some lasting ways. It's going to have an impact on the community. It'll have an impact on the team. And Rob and Kim get to be a part of the entire process. I am so excited they're coming on board. I'm so thankful that they're joining this team. And I would love it if you would just prayerfully consider ways that you can be a part of what they're doing as well, financially, through your prayers, through your encouragement. They need all of it. And as much as you can join their team, and in as many ways as you can join their team, it'll be beautiful. And just know that I'll be grateful, and people around the United States will be as well. Thanks for being a part of what they're doing. Thanks for encouraging them. Thanks for giving financially. Thank you for praying for them. And just know that as you support them, you are helping communities throughout the USA. You're helping team members from churches from throughout America. And you're making a difference. And it's a really big deal. So on behalf of me, on behalf of Convoy of Hope, and countless people that neither of us have met yet, I just want to say thank you.
I love moments like this. Thank you, Rob, for sharing your heart. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for honoring God's call to ministry. We want to be, here's a good amen opportunity for the rest of us. We want to be a part of it. Right? We're rural folks. That's who we are. And boy, our hearts should just beat for what God would do. I had no idea. 90% of the population, but 40% of the poverty. That's remarkable. Remarkable. I want the ushers to come and prepare to receive an offering that will go completely to Rob and Kim and the ministry that God is doing through them. If you've been here very long, you've heard me read these verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul writes, because he's taking an offering, and he writes to the church at Corinth, and he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap how?
Generously.
See, you don't even have to have the text in front of you to know that, right? Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So nobody's trying to twist your arm to do something that you don't want to do, right? But a heart submitted to the Lord, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but God sure rejoices in a cheerful giver. Why? Because he created us for generosity. And God is able, I love this verse, and God is able to bless you abundantly. The prior NIV translation, which I'm more familiar with, says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you can abound in every good work. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you can abound in every good work. As it is written, and this should be a description of us, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. You don't build a life by what you get. You build a life by what you give away. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Let that text, that holy scripture, be an encouragement to you as under the direction of the Lord you prepare your gift this morning. I'd like you to stand with me. We want to pray over the gifts that we're about to offer.